Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to episode number two of the Road to Divi 1 and the Gold Coast Marathon podcast over on Tell Me Your Tales here. Thanks for joining us for the second edition of this little series. Blown away by the response of the first episode that went out probably 8 or 9 days ago. Hasn't been out for that long. We're back for episode two though. Welcome to my co-host, the 62 Minute Man, who will be running a marathon. Well, he finished a marathon this time in 7 weeks. Andy Buchanan, welcome to this episode.
Thanks, Brady. Thanks for having me back on. It's been it's been overwhelming. Good to see we've got so many Bat fans.
You don't have to thank me.
Not only Victoria, but also Australia. Always.
This is your project as well, mate. We are co-hosts. This isn't me and you're on here. This is what we're doing now for the next 5-6 months kind of thing until we get into Divi 1.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun. And it's, I don't know, it's funny how we're communicating so much more these days because of this, and it's I think it's good. I like it.
Was a good response from the Bat fans out there as well, internationals. I heard that we're big in Brisbane today. Had a Strava comment as well saying there's a lot of Bat fans up there in Queensland. That was from who told me that? That was from Garth. Let me know about that today. Also blown away by the number on the charts. I think we got to number 16. On the sports Spotify charts, up there with kind of Bill Simmons and Howie. What's Howie's first name? Mark Howard.
Mark Howard, yep.
Yeah, up there amongst some real big dogs. So thanks for tuning in. We'll hear about Andy's train in a second. Then we're going to talk about some Bat information leading into the second round of the AV season at Lardner Park, which is happening this Saturday. So hopefully you listen to this before the weekend. And then we're going to call a member of the Bats, one of our young guns, having his first year in Open this year, to hear a bit about his running journey. So you've got a bit of buy-in, know what's going on with the members of the Bats. So looking forward to spending the next 50, 45, maybe 60 minutes with you. But Andy, do you want to take us through your training to start off with? Some two big weeks, actually. I've got your Strava open now, 184K last week. And then this week was 194. Huge.
Yeah. So definitely is my two biggest weeks ever. Sometimes you feel like you're running all the time to try and get 160K or whatever. Whereas at the moment, it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's just kind of clicking quite well at the moment. So big weeks. I had a few bigger weeks, when we were on holidays, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But you know what it's like on school holidays, it's super easy to get all your running in. So it's been really good not to have any, interruptions and just being able to focus on some good training. So for me, did we talk about last week's?
Nah, so you got to give us pretty much show? 2 weeks of training.
Two weeks. Yeah. Right. So yeah, with me, I do two sessions a week. So I do Tuesday and Friday, and then I do a bit of a, I suppose, a harder long run there. So that's what my week normally looks like, and then I just kind of fill it in with gaps. So 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday, went down to the lake. All people in Bendigo, all the bats know where the lake is, and probably a few people out of Bendigo know what the lake's like. So really lucky down there. Awesome circuit. I know you and me have done a fair few runs around there. It was actually, did you like what I tagged you in during the week on Facebook?
Yes, I did. I always wonder when you get tagged in something from like, I think that was 10 years ago. Like, how did you even come across that in the first place?
Nah, so it popped up. You know those memories on Facebook, how it
Oh,
says
yeah.
on this day, and then it's just like you like relive all the bad mistakes you've made. I
Yeah.
know that's what it's like with me, where it's just like all these photos pop up of you in a nightclub or something. You're like, oh shit,
Yeah, this photo
kind of
could
thing.
get me
So
fired.
yeah, exactly. So that popped up, and it was you must, I don't know, you mustn't have had your watch that night or something, because we did some 8x1K literally 10 years ago down at the lake, and we're still not sure, because some of them are in brackets, so one of us dropped the other one, but we're still not sure who it was. But I know we're going to talk about a result nearly 10 years ago down at Lardner Park, and you had me covered. So I reckon it was actually you dropping the bomb.
Yeah, so to fully let the listeners know, I posted to your Facebook wall. This is what people used to do 10 years ago. I'm not sure why I didn't just like text message you or like instant message you on the DM somewhere on Facebook Messenger, but I messaged you asking if you could tell me what the splits are for my training diary because yeah, obviously I mustn't have had a watch. Oh, I'm thinking maybe my watch went flat. I'm not sure. And we pretty much ran 8x1Kers in like 307, 306. And then somebody dropped the hammer the last two and had their times in brackets, which I think it must be you because, yeah, well, how would have you been able to clock me if I was in front of you?
Yeah, I don't know. So just for some context, we ran the first six together: 308, 306, 308, 307, 308, 306, 310. So we were pretty sensible. And then either you or me ran 302, and the other one ran 253.
Yeah, that's a real
So
kick down there.
one of us was yeah, feeling good obviously that night. But it's Richard must have been there that night if we ran 253 to
Yeah,
finish, I
no,
reckon, because he would have been.
he wouldn't have allowed that.
Nah, not at all,
I've
not at all.
got to,
But
yeah, and I need to find that diary. I looked back, I found 2013, but I couldn't find 2011. I think I know where it is though. I'll have a flick back and be able to, yeah, confirm or deny who hit those reps. But that was, I looked back, that was a kind of good year for me then. I think I'd ran my 1500 PB that year of 353, and I think I ran 820 for 3K that year as well. So, yeah, I was obviously, they're not crazy times when you look at some of the times I was putting on the board. But yeah, we'd smoke those these days. 8x1K
I
in
don't know.
probably 3.6 average, 3.5.
I just had a bit of a laugh, just because I was like, here we are 10 years later on doing kind of the same stuff on a
Yeah.
Tuesday night. But no, it's good. So I was down at the lake, and I did this session. Haven't done it for a while actually. It's mile, 2x800 mile, then 2x800, which is 7K worth of work. I really enjoy it, because it goes really quickly. I don't know what it is. I think you kind of just the way you kind of break it up into kind of two different sections. And I was pretty surprised when I kind of got to the end, and it was like 7K worth. Oh shit, that's gone quite fast. Wore the Alpha Flies for the first time in this one, so it was a bit of a crap day here in Bendigo that afternoon. Pretty cold, pretty windy. So I thought, oh, I'll you know what it's like busting out some new shoes. You
We
get
have
pretty
we've spoken about this in the first episode. Remember, we
We
had a
have.
massive conversation about this. Now I remember. Yes, let's.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
If you're tuning in straight at episode two, go back to episode one because we've spoken about Alpha Flies and this workout in the wet and stuff. So let's
Well,
skip ahead, Andy. Our memories are not great.
I'm blaming you on that one. So this week I hit 194K. This will be easy to remember, because I
No, but we
only
must have
did it the
recorded
other
like
day. So this will
we
be.
must have recorded midweek last time though. I think.
Yeah, I reckon it was a Wednesday.
What about I'm on your
Yeah, I reckon it
Strava
was
now.
Wednesday.
I'm gonna ask you about stuff I can see in here since we recorded last time. How's that sound?
All right. perfect. What could go wrong?
Oh, yeah, we should be right here. So let's talk about this workout around what they call the wedge in Bendigo. 4K, oh, yes. Yep. 4x80-second hills, 4K, 4x80-second hills. Looked like a good bat turnout for this one as well.
It was, actually. Some good juniors, and, there's a few members there that will be in our cross-country team, actually. So this is a bit of a – Scotty loves this. He calls this the big boy session. So occasionally I'll do tempo hills, then tempo, or – but I actually haven't done the tempo hills for a while. So it's 16K total. And the motivation on this one was to have a crack at the Beasts CR around the wedge. Just a bit of fun banter there between Cookie and I. So it was pretty much 4K at half marathon intensity was the kind of goal. We did this one pretty early. It was quite chilly. So the first rep was just, you know what it's like when it's cold, just really hard to get going, and you feel like you've only just warmed up kind of halfway through the rep. But hit 12:09 for the first 4K, and then did some gentle hills. They're probably not as steep as what we're used to, but Scotty was just after a little bit of resistance up the hills and nothing too extravagant. And then managed to hit 11:34 for the second 4K, which is probably, what is it? What K rate would that be? 2:53 per K. So I felt pretty good on that.
So was that still half marathon intensity, or did you like intentionally pick, did that feel as hard as the first one, but because you're warmed up more, it felt similar?
Yeah. No, it actually felt easier, just because we were warmed up, I think. So it felt easier, but at the same time, I was probably working slightly harder just because of that added fatigue through already doing 4K and then also a fair few hills. But I kind of got rolling on that one and felt pretty good. And it was quite funny, actually. We were running past there's a primary school there, and it would have been, might have been 7:45, and just truckloads of cars were rocking up. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why are there so many kids? And you have to run on the road, and it's a little bit sketchy. And we found out it was Mother's Day breakfast. So like every single kid and their mum were coming into school nice and early. And here we were, like a group of five or six of us, just absolutely sprinting down the road. So they probably thought, what was going on here? So that made that session quite interesting. But it's a good fun session, that one. I enjoy it. It's a pretty big session just in terms of volume and also with the hills in there, so you feel pretty tired after it, but I find it's really good for building the strength you need for cross country and also for kind of half marathon-y kind of work. So it was good fun, actually.
Very good. And then, like, I'm just looking at your easy days. Like, there's not many days where you're covering less than kind of 24K. Like, there's not like a 10K or 12K easy jog in there. Everything's like 16, 17K, and then, you know, 7 or 8K in the afternoon.
Yeah, so my standard run is kind of 10 mile these days. That's the, I suppose, easy run, as you'd call it. And that's just, I think that's why I'm getting the Ks I am, and it's feeling quite easy because I'm not actually getting out the door that many times. And it's, I don't know, I kind of have a fair few loops here in Bendigo that are about 15, 16K. So I find they just kind of tick over quite easily. And I honestly can't remember, apart from an Arvo double, the last time I kind of did like a 10K or 12K run. It's just kind of 16K is just that's the norm now. I think the mind's just used to it. So
that was the Friday workout, some easy jogging Saturday. Then your Sunday looks like it was 90 minutes at 4:25 pace. I'm thinking probably with the group there in Bendigo at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And then it looks like you ran 3:44 pace for the last hour for like 36K in total, 36.5K.
Yes, this is one of my first, I won't really call it a session, but I suppose a bit of purpose on a Sunday. It was just running with the group for the first bit, and then just making sure that last hour was it was meant to, I think I averaged 3:44s, and I think Scotty wanted 3:45s, which was good. Had Sean Forrest on the bike with me, which was awesome. Good to have him riding along with me and keeping me a bit of company, and just trialed a bit of taking on some fluids and having a gel as well. So that was good to practice that kind of stuff, because that's one thing I know I need to practice a little bit more, because I'm not used to it, having never done a marathon. So Sean was the drinks person there, so that was good fun, actually. Really enjoyed it.
Looks like you did a big section of that on the dirt as well. Is that right?
Yeah, so did the normal loop and then went along Wildflower.
Yeah.
So it's because, like, trying to run 3:45s through the bush in Bendigo is not super easy, just because it's a little bit technical and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to get on a nice road where I can just relax, I suppose, and not really think too much. And Wildflower's perfect for that. It's still a little bit undulating. So yeah, that was good fun, actually. I think that was probably my longest run ever, I reckon. 36.5K, or pretty close to.
This heart rate data, are you wearing a strap for that?
I'm pretty sure I would have been wearing, and so I've got one of those polar arm straps, you know, the ones, the optical one. Have you seen them before?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure if I've got heart rate data, it's from that. So that should be pretty accurate. I've noticed it's really good. I hate a strap. I can't stand it. It's, I don't know. I've never really worn one. So when I put one on, it just feels really, really strange. And I've really, really liked wearing that, the polar one. So, all heart rate data should be pretty correct there.
Yeah, so 131 for the first 90 minutes, and then the last hour at 3:44 pace was 146. Not even working.
That's not too bad.
That's pretty good. Pretty solid. Over a couple of hills down there as well. Pretty tired. Yeah. So let's talk about this monster of a week this week then. 194.2K. Talk us through the workouts here.
Yeah. Let me find the first one. So went to the track, which was, I don't know, a little bit surprising, which was good. Haven't been to the track in ages. And all the Bats fans out there would have seen this one on Instagram, because we did put it on our story. So if you're not following the Bats, get around them on the on Instagram. But we're really lucky. We've got a good track in Bendigo, but I think it's got to be one of the windiest tracks in Australia, I reckon. It's just always windy, and I know a lot of people will hear me always complaining about the wind there, but hopefully you can back me up on that claim. And I know a few, like Ali Pashley and all that, will definitely back me up, because the one time she's been up here, it was blowing an absolute gale for that 5K frenzy. But this session I did was 2x2 mile and then 2K and 1K. So the instructions here were just to hit kind of 72 seconds for that first 2 mile, and then kick it down to about 70 seconds, and then gradually get faster in the 2K and 1K. Felt pretty good on this. Ran 9:41 for the first 2 mile, 9:21 for the second one, and then the 2K was 5:37, and then managed to run 2:46 for the last K. So it was pretty big workout. Like, ended up being 10.7K, just jog laps with between each set there, and it was just nice to get on the track and feel running fast again. I don't know, I haven't been on the track for probably 2 weeks, so enjoyed that session. Had a lot of Bats out there. Like, I think there was probably maybe 7 or 8 doing the session, and had a few boys jumping in and out with me, which just makes it so much easier, because I'm kind of used to doing a lot of my training by myself. So yeah, it was a good session. We got the lights on going on the track towards the end of the session, and it's us. Have you ever ran on a track under lights?
Oh, I have, like, not in Bendigo though.
You can't count Box Hill. Those lights don't count as lights.
Box Hill, Lakeside Stadium, I reckon, is that a place there at night time? Maybe not that often, to be honest. I don't think so. Yeah.
It's really cool. And we were having discussions, like, oh, it's like 6:30 is the perfect time to train, because that wind dies down and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like, when you finish work at 4:30, what do you do for 2 hours? And then you're kind of like, you wouldn't be finished till 8:30 kind of thing. But it was, because this session went for so long, it was kind of, by the time we were finishing, by the time we got to that 1K, it was like perfect conditions, lights were on, and it was really cool. So But no, that was it was good fun. Good fun to get on the track
So they
and
turning
just
those lights on
running
every
as fast
Tuesday
again.
down there?
So they turn them on for the, you know, the trot around Tuesday, which
Oh,
used to be at the lake.
yep.
You know, the one, yep. So that's now at the track. So they turn them on for that. And I think Peter Barrett just wanted to, I don't know, look after us a little bit. So he just flicked them on just for us for the last bit of our session. So it's, I don't know, I don't think that'd be on every single Tuesday, but probably, yeah, probably half. Yeah, probably 2 Tuesdays a month they'll definitely be on. So, which is pretty cool.
And did you spike up for the last bit of that workout or toilet stop or something in there? 3 minute
Nah,
break.
yeah, that was a toilet stop. And I just wore the Nex Percents the whole time through. So the boys kept jogging, I ducked into the loo, and then I kind of headed back out and joined them. So yeah, that's what that funny GPS little little thing is there. So yeah, nah, no spikes. I'll just save them for race day at the moment, I think.
Just a bit of cross country and look after the calves in the with the track work. Next
Yeah.
percent's so good on the track anyway, for the kind of pace you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They're really good. And I've got a pair that are pretty new actually. They've only done 3 or 4 races and I was kind of like, oh, I might as well use them in training.
What about this
And it's, yeah.
medium long run, 27.2K at 4:07, but your Strava title says ultimate flyby.
Yeah, so that was because I saw, big shout out to Jim Russell. He's a bit of a legend here in Bendigo and he loves Strava and he's dirty that Strava got rid of the you know the flyby option, how you go into your run, you can see who ran the same time as you and you passed
Yeah,
them.
I think you can still
So
turn it on, can't you? But didn't they just make that private or something?
so everyone's account is default set to their private so they don't appear. So people have to go on to change it. So it kind of default, like it's just pointless having the whole function. And I was running along a street out there in White Hills. And Jim was in the truck, so that's why I called it Ultimate Flyby because he loves that kind of stuff. So that's what that was all about. But yeah, no, it's that's my least favorite run of the week actually, that medium long run. So I used to do it over a fair few hills, and then got in a bit of trouble from Scotty saying I just needed to go flat and go a bit faster. So it was pretty dark on that one, but I had a bit of what do I have? Hilltop Woods, the hard road, I think, playing. So that kept me
Restrung
going.
version.
Yes, it was actually, yeah. And I think I had the calling in there as well, so like real original Hilltop Woods, which was good fun.
That's a good album. And then the big one, Friday workout, 16K at 3:08 pace, marathon pace, 10 miler. Is that what we got here?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, I'm a bit, I don't want to call it marathon pace yet because there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but it was I don't know. Scotty's kind of now talking in 5K splits rather than K splits, and you know you're doing marathon stuff when that happens. So this was all about trying to hit between 15:50 to 16 minutes for my 5K, each 5K split, and actually ran a little bit faster. So felt pretty good. So I kind of ran 15:46 for the first one, so just slightly under, then 15:40. And then 15:37. So didn't really mean to get faster, but that was just kind of just felt in the groove. This was an absolute freezing morning. I don't know if you remember
Yeah, it was
Friday morning,
fresh
but
up
it
here
was
as well.
yeah. And it was just like I wore a long sleeve for the whole session, and I did 4 loops, and it was probably by the fourth loop that I was actually like, okay, yeah, I feel like I've warmed up. So it was no, it was good fun. Like I haven't done a workout that long before, and just even continuous, like just running continuously for that long, was quite strange. And but no, it was awesome, good fun. Really enjoyed it. And we got out pretty early, so the weather was it was cool, but there was no wind at all. So it was yeah, good fun.
That's good. And this new place where you guys are training at Huntly, so we're talking about like northern Bendigo here for people at home, the Echuca side of Bendigo actually. It seems
Yeah.
like, are you guys, is it a bitumen road, tarred road, or you're on the dirt?
Yeah,
What is
so
it?
nah. So all of it bar the very bottom little lake there is bitumen. So big shout out to one of the OG bats, Matt Hook. He actually found this loop for me, which was awesome because Bendigo is quite, it's not super hilly, but it's just undulating. And we're really keen to try and find a 3 or 4K loop that was flat, that was quiet, that had a shortcut option. So if you're looking on Strava now, it's really good because it's nearly 3K till that Sawmill Road. Can you see that there? So I had the Matt and Ned Buckle, the two twins, they joined me and they did, it was going to be 3x3K, but they did a bit extra. So it works perfect because I do a full lap and they cut off at Sawmill Road and then meet me back at the start. So it's a perfect loop. So I'm looking forward to getting a big group of bats out there one morning, since it's on the right end for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. And we do longer workouts on a Friday as well, so we can definitely get down there. And it's pretty similar. We got like a 4.6, I think it is. Kind of similar, kind of rectangle like that. It looks really similar to the one that we do workouts on. I was going to ask you something about this workout. I've forgotten now because I got distracted by the map. I don't even know what I was going to say. Can't even remember. Oh, so it's just that bottom bit that's dirt, like near the
footy. Yeah, so the very bottom. Yep. It's the southern part of the, yeah, near the footy oval, yeah, kind of. So it's just that, yeah, the most southern part of it. So it's probably 400 meters on dirt. The rest is on the rest is bitumen. So it's good. It can just get real windy because it's pretty exposed out there.
Yeah, what I was going to ask. The traffic, like, do you have to deal with many cars driving around there?
Oh, there's a tiny little bit, but I feel like all the cars out there are not used to seeing people, so they kind of really slow down and they kind of get off the road for us, which is quite strange. So I didn't step off the road once, and we probably saw maybe 10 or 15 cars during that 16K, and all of them actually really slow down, and then because the road's quite thin, it's not a dual lane road, so they kind of move over and kind of look at you quite funny as three blokes go sprinting past. So it's it works quite well actually. There's not a lot of traffic, so, and they're quite patient out there, which is good.
And then the final run we'll talk about this morning, 35K at 4:17 with the group early. Yeah. And then did you pick it up again, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, a little bit. This was just a bit of a bread and butter long run. So just 2.5 hours. And just if you kind of feel good at the end, you can get rolling, was the instructions from Scotty. So it's funny how you do a few of these long runs and all of a sudden you adapt quite quickly. And you kind of get to like 2 hours, 2:10, and you're kind of like, oh, I still feel full of energy, still feel pretty good. So, I probably didn't mean to kick it down as much as I did, but you just kind of, once you get the hills done early, as you know, on that long run, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a lot of downhill, and you just kind of, pick the pace up. But no, it was good actually. Had a really good group out this morning. So there was probably nearly 15 of us, which was good fun, over through the hills and all that kind of stuff. Just waiting for you to come down and make an appearance again.
Yeah, well, we're rolling all right up here. I called us the River Bats today. We kind of averaged 4 minutes, 4:05 the last couple of weeks up here. Nathan Stoat, one of our members from Gels Park, is super fit. Glenn McMillan, who's kind of, you know, he's kind of that 6th, 7th, 8th kind of runner in our team. I think he's going to push for selection some stage throughout the season. Like, that was his longest run he's ever done today, 2 hours 10, and he averaged 4:06. So yeah, they're going good. And Archie had to work, so he was out doing solo 2 hours yesterday. But we're going right up here as well. It feels like everyone's kind of just starting to turn a page at the right time of the season, because we did cop a bit of flack last week. A few people just out there just thinking that we're a bit maybe just winged it maybe the first week. It's not going to last the whole season. Things like that. That's the vibe I'm getting. Like, a lot of people loving us, which is good. But a lot of people kind of, just think the Bats maybe fluked around one and the season's going to maybe fall apart from here. You getting the same vibes?
Yeah, I had the same feedback kind of thing where people were saying, oh, yeah, it's easy to rock up just for Gels Park kind of thing. But I actually reckon how we've got the same team. Well, we possibly could have the same team. I know we'll chat about it a little bit more, but with Lardner Park, the wonderful thing is it's just the first six over the line. So it's not, you don't select your team prior, and so it's going to be quite different. But I think our first six could possibly be stronger because it's a little bit further. So I think that probably suits most of our runners. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I reckon. I don't know. We could be in with a shot of winning it overall. I reckon. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, we're second overall at Gels Park, and Stewie and Ben Buckingham have both left the country. So obviously two guys, a team in front of us, two big names to replace that are irreplaceable. They can't slot anyone in that's going to step up like those two do. So that's got to put us as the team to beat, doesn't it? Just on basic maths there. Same thing, I agree. I can only speak on behalf of myself, Archie, and Nathan, but the extra 2K helps us. We only get better going from 6 to 8. And I think having one cross-country run in our legs already will mean that, we start a bit more confident. We've been trying to practice doing some stuff in spikes around here. Just, I think pretty positive. Like, we're not going to sit in the car for us guys up here for 4.5 hours if we weren't going to have a crack. So, yeah, we're looking forward to getting out there, and we're pretty hungry. And then as the season progresses as well, like when you start bringing in a few other names and you start looking at 10K, 15K, half marathon, all on the road, I think we're only going to get stronger, not weaker, like a few people have suggested. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Got to doing the talking, got to start doing the walking.
There is a lot of talking going on, so it's good. I know the Bendy contingent of the Bats are looking forward to showing that we're not just a one-trick pony. We can back up. So
a few people have chips on their shoulders, which is good, which leads us to talking about this week, Lardner Park down near Warrigal. So we're kind of, for us, we've got to go into Melbourne and then to the other side of Melbourne and then kind of out of Melbourne for an hour and a bit to get there. So it's probably the biggest trip we do all season of the 10-race season. This race hasn't been there for the last, I think maybe 8-9 years. Did look up some results. I looked up that in 2009, when we were in Division 1, I came 24th and you came 43rd. And the year after, that year actually, we finished 8th in Div 1, so kind of like third last team. And then the year after 2010, we finished last in Div 1. I come 22nd. We only had one other guy in the top 100, so not a good history at this location. Brutal course. There's a fence to jump. There's ditches to jump. If it rains, it's no good. It's a real kind of tough man's course, this one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I've got memories of going down to Warrigal, and it's just always, it is wet, always cold. The grass is so thick and green, and it's just muddy. So I can't wait to get back down there and hopefully flip that result from a while ago. You had me on toast that day, actually, and I reckon I was pretty stoked with my 43rd position there. But we'll just have to. I'm actually looking at the results now and seeing all the people that rolled me in between you and me. But you finished just behind Blitz, actually, Mark Blitz. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's gone on to do some good things. I'm still running around the AV line in the park.
He has. I wonder if he'll be down there on the weekend. Probably not.
Geelong playing Friday night. I might get down for a Saturday race afterwards.
Yeah. I'd like to see him trying to jump the fence now. I don't know how he'd go with that. He's put on a bit of weight.
He certainly has.
Cross country days.
So the course looks good. It's going to be true cross country down there. The Bendigo Bats team looks good. We're pretty looking forward to having a good crack at it. Anything else to add about this week's? Like, you're going to have a full crack? You're going to win it?
Yeah, well, I know the good thing about AV is you just never know who's going to rock up, and they're really tough events to win. Like, I know 2019, I think I only won one race, and I thought I was in pretty good form, but I just had like Harry Summers would rock up, and then you had like Liam Adams, and you'd have a few different MTC guys, and it's just you never know. So it's, I don't know, I'm going to have a crack. I won't taper for it. So my week, I'll do a session on Thursday rather than Friday. And I'll probably still try and hit pretty high mileage. So I'll still have a crack. My goal is to win, but we'll just wait and see. But it's going to be interesting. Like, this is it's a tough course. Like the fence jump is, I don't know, it's going to be playing on a few people's minds, I think. Like, some people are going to be going, oh, do I, Do I hurdle it? Do I stop and put one leg over and hop over? I don't know. It's going to be very different. So it's, I'm just looking forward to seeing, getting down there, doing a warm up of the course and just going, oh, geez, there's going to be some carnage today. So we'll wait and see who rocks up.
There is that traveling factor for people in Melbourne as well. Like, they don't like traveling too much, so they've got to sit in the car for an hour 20. So maybe some don't rock up. Maybe some teams are a bit weak where we've kind of made the commitment to get there.
Yeah, we've got good numbers, actually. We've got nearly probably 30 people coming down. So a fair few juniors, and then a lot of men and some women as well. So it's the bat's going to be down there in force, which is awesome. Good to see, like, because it is a big day out. It's like your whole Saturday is kind of gone. But we, I don't know, we love it. It's part of being a bat, and that's what we really like, that team aspect as well, because half the fun's kind of going down. And I know the laughs you have in the car or the bus, and then the Macca's stops on the way home and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be good fun, and there's going to be a lot of Bendigo runners down there. So
it's going to be a long day, but anyway,
looking forward to it.
Hopefully a successful day. Should we bring in our guest for this week, the bat that we want to introduce the audience to? Let's bring him in.
Yep.
All right, our guest is here. He is a member of the Bendigo Bats running team. One of the quicker members of the team, and maybe the only Oceania record holder who wears a bat singlet. He's the Oceania half marathon under 20 record holder. Has a half marathon PB of 65:43, 10K PB of 30:26, 5K PB of 14:27, and a 3K PB of 8:25. Archie Reid, welcome to the Road to Divi 1 podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Did I get those PBs right? Because I was looking at your IAAF profile as I was reading them out, and I know it's not 100% accurate on here.
Yeah, a couple of them are like the 5K. Like, that wasn't an official race, that 5K in Collingwood.
Yeah, that's right. But,
yeah. All of them are pretty accurate.
Did you know about that record, Andy?
No, I didn't. When you were saying that, I was like, what is he talking about here? But that's impressive.
We only figured it out the other week because he got this little code on his IAAF profile next to his half marathon that said AU20B, and we couldn't work out what it was. And then we had to like search the codes up, and Archie discovered that it was the Australian and Oceania under 20 half marathon record from down at Launceston end of last year. So that's a good stat for a bat.
Yeah, that is. That's bloody impressive, actually. It's it's nothing to sneeze at. So you've done well there, Archie. I think you are. I think it's very safe to say you are the only bat that has an Oceania record. So it's very impressive.
That's very good. I think you took it off Jack Rayner as well, which is a nice person to take it off. Hey, Archie, which is your favorite PB out of all those ones?
Definitely probably the half marathon. Just so I wanted to get under 66, so I reckon just get that, and then just unexpectedly get the Oceania record. I didn't realize I had it, and then saw the code on the World Athletics profile, so I was pretty happy to get it on.
Yeah, nice. And that was one because we did that time trial where you ran a similar kind of time, and it was good to actually do it in an official race. And I know your preparation leading up to that, I was kind of injured and helping out a lot on the bike, and it was good to see you cash in because you're doing some really good workouts leading into that one. But give us some more details. We'll give the listeners a few more details because Andy and I kind of know about who Archie Reid is, how old you are, what you do for a job, a bit about yourself. Give us a bit of a spiel.
So I'm 19. I run I train every day, just like any other professional distance runner would. But I work full time as well. I work at my parents' business. It's a burger shop, and so it's called Brew Burger in Chuga. And then I also work at the bar as well, which is next door. And then, I work there pretty much full time and run like doing about 130K a week at the moment. So that's going pretty well at the moment.
And trying to crack into the property market, Andy. It's getting a bit hard for young people up here, though. All the boomers are pushing all the prices up.
Really? That's, wow. I'm Yeah, I still don't even own a house, and I'm 30, so it's are you 19, did you say, Archie?
Yeah, 19. Turning 20 in June next month.
Now, what's the story? Whenever I see you come down to Bendigo, you're rolling around in this Audi. Can you where'd you get this Audi from? And tell me a bit about this car. Because I always look at it and go, shit, what has happened here?
Before you go, can I just share, when I looked at this car parked on the side of our workout location on I think it was Friday morning, you've got something hanging from your rear view mirror, and I'm pretty sure it says does it say like sex tape or something like that on there? Sex cream or something like that? What does it actually say?
Oh, that's
it reminded me that I was training with a 19-year-old anyway.
It's what are they called? You know they're like those smelly
refresher things.
It's like that. It's called sex wax.
Sex wax, that's it.
Yeah, it's popular for teenagers.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, as a 33-year-old, I looked at it and thought, what the hell is that hanging from his rear vision mirror?
Yeah, it's like the brand that they put on their surfboards.
Yeah.
You know, like the wax?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know.
I'm too old for this stuff. Just tell us about the car.
A bit out of place.
Yeah, I bought the car in Bendigo, but it looks a lot more than... looks better than it's worth, actually.
I'm just always impressed. It's just keep telling people it's worth a lot of money, and you might get some success from it. But I suppose it's good to hear from you, and I don't know the reason why Brady and I are kind of doing this, just so that people get to know some of the people that that run with Bendigo, and then they can kind of follow them throughout the season. So for this weekend, have you ever ran at Lardner Park before?
No, I've never ran there before.
Andy, he would have been 9 last time this race was on at Lardner Park.
Yeah, well, I was just building a bit of moment.
It was 10 years ago.
Going through. Yeah. So how are you feeling ahead of this this weekend? And you're looking forward to a 8K cross country compared to 6 at Gels?
Yeah, I think Gels was a good sort of a warm up for it. I reckon I didn't run as well as I should have in Gels, but I'm hoping just a bit of a blow of the cobwebs with Gels, and then a bit of a longer race in Lardner Park, so it should suit me a bit better.
Perfect. Now what lessons have you learned from Gels?
Definitely not to go out too hard.
And what about footwear? Are you going to change because you wore the Next Percents at Gels?
I'm definitely going to go with Spikes in Lardner Park. Just with the I thought Next Percent would go alright, but just with the grass sort of sunk in, every step felt like I was sinking in. So it didn't feel the best.
Archie does on our grass track up here, he does workouts in them on the track. I've never used him in the track grass workouts before, but he hit some good times wearing them on the grass track up here.
Yeah, I've never worn them on grass, and I just find the thick of the grass, I would imagine the thick of the grass is the worst they are. And Gels Park, it was like they hadn't had a mower on that for about a year. It was pretty long, and I don't know, I reckon if you wore them at Lardner, they might get stuck in a mud pit and you might come out with only one shoe on or something like that. So glad to hear you wearing Spikes
will be the go.
That's good.
He's been cracked doing a few grassy jogs up here as their second runs, just to get the calves and Achilles and stuff ready for Spikes as well. Archie, you got any AV clubs that you like beating or racing against?
Probably just those top ones, Western Athletics or Box Hill. Just any of those top clubs, it's always good to beat, I reckon.
Pretty deep those clubs as well, so it's good if you're racing against those ones. And the favourite race you've ever done?
I'd have to say the Rack Half Marathon. Some people probably heard of it as one of those really elite races where they all run 59, 58. But it's near Dubai. So it's Rack. It stands for Ras Al Khaimah. But it's just, I did it I think it was 3 years ago. But it's just really good experience to do that one.
Yeah, it's
what
pretty
times
low.
you're on there, Archie?
67. Might have been. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but it's like 67 something.
As like a 17-year-old at the time, would it? 2 years ago?
Yeah, I was 17. So I won the. Must have been under 18 or under 20 age group.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Got like first ever prize money.
So, oh, they gave you prize money for it?
Yeah, they got heaps of money over there, so it was pretty awesome.
Not too many races where they're paying out under 20 prize money getting around. Did you know that going into that race, there was prize money?
Oh, I knew there was going to be a little bit, but I had no idea how much it was going to be or anything, so.
Yeah, that's good. And your mum, Linda, is a travel agent as well, so you've got to race and train in some pretty amazing locations considering your age. Do you want to just tell us about some of the places you've raced and trained overseas?
Yeah, so with my mum being a travel agent, it's pretty helpful. She can always find the good flights. So I've gone done the first one in the Iraq Half Marathon, which is near Dubai. And then I went straight to Kenya. So that was a really good experience to go there. Trained for 2 weeks with the Kenyans. So, that was pretty amazing. And then I've also gone over to Spain for the Valencia Half Marathon. That was a year later there.
Yeah, some amazing racing experience in there. What did you learn in Kenya? What were some of the highlights or things that kind of struck you as to the way they kind of operate with their training over there?
Probably just the way they just that everyone runs. So, you wake up, you go out for a run, you'll see, 100 runners just running around, in big packs and everything. It's just their culture, really.
Bit different to Chukamoama.
Yeah.
See one other person running, you're like, who is that? Quick, wind down your window. Ask him if he wants to meet us on Tuesday. It's just completely different.
It's a bit different. Good. Bit different down here in Bendigo with all the bats. But definitely not like that. But Archie, two questions here. What is your favourite workout, and what is your least favourite?
I reckon my favourite workout would have to be the Moose Farlek. So if anyone's listened to Inside Running Podcast, Moose Farlek is 3 minutes at sort of that 10K pace, and then 1 minute easy and 1 minute fast, so probably 3K, 5K pace, and that's five of those. So that's probably my favourite workout, just because it always feels like I get a good workout out of it. While it goes pretty fast.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about naming a workout after yourself? You found that, or?
I don't really mind it, but I'm not sure if I'd ever do it.
I actually reckon it should be named after Archie because he's covered the most distance in it. Andy, don't you think? If you can actually, if you do it better than anyone else has ever done it, you name it after yourself.
Yeah, I reckon that's pretty fair, actually. I reckon a few people might have change their training plans and call it Reed Fartlek or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's a smart idea. I've never done Mona Fartlek, but I've done Moose Fartlek.
Oh, you've never done Mona?
No, never.
Oh, we should put that in the program in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just come down to Bendigo on a Tuesday night and you'll be able to join with Cookie.
Yeah. The Beast does that every Tuesday.
I don't know if I'd be able to keep up with the Beast, but...
His floats, he means business, so it's pretty hard, actually.
Pretty solid. Floats are different than jogs with the Moose Fartlek. And then your least favourite workout, Archie?
Not really too sure, but I'd probably say, just 400-metre reps or something. Just those real, lactic sessions that I'm not the best at. But no real least favourite workout, I reckon.
Yeah, and my last question, a runner you look up to or admire, a role model kind of anyone? I know for me it was Craig Mottram growing up. Have you got someone that you like watching race?
Yeah, I'd probably say I'm more on the sort of African side. Obviously I love the Australian distance runners, like watched a bit of like Craig Mottram, but like I reckon I'd say like Haile Gebrselassie.
Yeah.
And
old school.
Yeah, real like old school. Just I don't know, just I went through a stage where I just was obsessed with like watching his just his running videos and everything, like just really inspired me a lot.
Yeah, he's, just the way he makes it look easy, hey?
Yeah, just the way they train and, like, the way they look really, yeah.
Perfect. And he knows how to finish a race. It's
yeah.
That Sydney Olympic final, the 10K. That's an amazing race. If yeah. listeners haven't watched that recently, put that on YouTube.
Yeah, it's pretty special. But, Archie, I've got one more question for you. You don't know, so it's going to be off the cuff a little bit. But obviously, being from you ran down here in Bendigo as a junior, and then probably what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, you joined Brady. So both of you lived up in Atucamoama together, and then you kind of didn't really do much running together. And then all of a sudden, you kind of seemed to be jumping in with sessions with him, and then and now he's kind of well, he's your coach. What happened there? And how have you found training and being coached by Brady, and how has that had an impact on your running recently?
So I used to be coached by Laurie Edmonston. He was like my coach in Echuca for like since when I started running, and so I was coached by him for about probably five or six years. And then, so I followed his programs and everything. Then I started training with Brady probably start of, like, the COVID, when COVID started.
Yeah, it was only about just over 12 months ago.
Yeah, just like, we used to do the odd session together, but it would never really work out in our different programs. And then, I just started doing every workout with him. And then, I found out, like, I really enjoyed his workouts. And joined in with him, and then slowly started to pay off, like a few time trials and stuff started to really work for me.
Yeah.
And then, slowly worked into Brady writing my programs.
Yeah, perfect. No, that's good. I think it's so good to have like someone to train with, but then it's also so good having a coach that can he's been through what you've been through, so he kind of understands and he knows how easy it is to get carried away and all that kind of stuff. And I just think the biggest thing is like just having people to train with. Like it's makes it so much easier going out there knowing, I've got to do 8x1K or whatever it is, but there's going to be a bloke next to me that's going to be going through that as well. That's what I kind of find. So it's good to see you boys have linked up and you work together, and I think you both make each other better, which is handy for our cross-country team.
Yeah, definitely.
I have had a couple of glimpses, Andy, like Friday was one of them, and I think the Tuesday before that was another one where I'm like, oh, my days of doing this might be numbered because I'm not getting much quicker, and I'm getting older and he's getting fitter and faster, and it's like, you know, do I get one more year out of him being my training partner before he's too fast for me, or 6 months or 10 months or there's been a couple of times in the last month that he's handed my ass to me pretty easy in some workouts, and I've been out the back door pretty quick. So, I'm enjoying it while I can because I know it's not going to last for much longer.
That's good. Keep you on your toes.
Oh, yeah. Keep me running too hard in workouts, trying to keep up maybe as well. Anyway, awesome, Archie. Well, thanks for your time tonight. We're pretty much going to end the show here. So this will be – we'll go out with a bit of outro music in a second. Listeners will be able to, follow us on Strava if you want to see how we go at Lardner Park on the weekend. As Andy said before, we called Archie, it's where we finish in the race. That's how many points we get. It's the team with the lowest score for your six runners that ends up winning the round. So ideally, it's about getting as many guys over the finish line as low as possible. Hopefully, we can all sneak into the top, I don't know, top 40 maybe. If we can get all six in the top 40, I think that would be pretty good day out, and we'll see what happens. It's one of those ones you're just never sure, and if someone has a shocker and comes in at 70th, it can really kind of impact your score, but we'll see what happens leading in, if you enjoy this for a bit of fun, podcasts do work on, the algorithm works on like reviews and stuff. So if you want to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, that would be really fantastic. And share it with a friend if you think they're keen. We're done, fellas. See you Saturday, Andy.
No worries. Yeah, see can't
you,
wait.
See you Tuesday, Archie, when we go to Shep to train on the track.
Yeah.
Good. Right, you're coming down to Bendigo.
Shep's like 50 minutes. Bendigo's like 70. It's just like a bit too far. Thought about it. I think Glenn was going to, he was half thinking about going down. But yeah, we're going to go to Shep instead. Because then we can meet Nathan as well, who comes over from like Cobram Baruga.
Yep.
So yep, three of us and go that way. All right, guys. Catch you next time.
Catch you later.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.